The Holy Gospel today comes from the book of St. Luke, the third chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from Christ, our Lord and our Holy Creator, the One Father. Amen. There was a family who came to church one Sunday to have their infant baptized. And while the mother was walking around and talking with some folks, the father was sitting there looking a little bit perturbed. And so the senior pastor walked up to him and said, "You know, baptism is a very serious thing. Are you ready?" And the father said, "Yeah, well, you know, my wife, she made some really good appetizers, and we've got a catering company, and they're going to make some really good food and dessert and stuff like that." And the pastor said, No. It's a serious thing. I mean, are you ready spiritually?" The young father said, "Oh, well, yeah, I got a keg of beer and a case of whiskey also." It's a funny joke because we don't really know what baptism is, right? It's one of those things where we're not entirely sure what it means, but most of us do it. I can't tell you how often it happens, but every now and then I get these parents that will give me a call. They've looked our church up in a directory or on Google or something, and they'll call me up, and they have no association with the church whatsoever. They have no plans to start coming to church, any church, but they want me to baptize their kid. And so I always have a conversation with them about what they think baptism means. And I found that a lot of these parents who come in this manner, they think that baptism is like a vaccine. You come and you do it one time, and then you don't have to really show up again for a while. So I wanted to spend some time today, because this is the Sunday of the baptism of our Lord Jesus. And I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about what baptism is and what baptism isn't. And I kind of did this last year as well. And I never have enough time in one sermon to really go over everything that I possibly could about baptism. So this is kind of an expansion on that, a little bit of overlap. But my intention is that it's not the same sermon. And I wanted to start with what baptism is not, because there's a tremendous amount of confusion around this area in what people think baptism is when it truly is not. And the first one, the big one, baptism is not an insurance policy. That's probably the most misconceived idea about baptism. People treat it as though it's an insurance policy, that if their child goes the wrong direction, or if something bad happens, you can pull out that baptismal certificate and say, "Well, at least they were baptized." But that's not what it is, and that's not what it was ever meant to be. Baptism is also not a ticket into heaven. A lot of people treat it that way. But the truth is, nowhere in the Bible does Jesus say that we need to be baptized to be saved, whatever that word means. But nowhere in the Bible is there a correlation between being baptized and experiencing salvation. And then finally, baptism is not extra credit on the big, giant, divine report card. Baptism is something that a lot of people do simply because somewhere in the Bible Jesus says to do it, and that's it. And, you know, it's like getting assignments from a teacher. You just got to do them to get the grade, right? And sometimes there's extra credit, and if you do that too, well, then you get a little boost. But that's also not what baptism is. Baptism is more than just doing something off of a list. Now, all of this might seem somewhat trivial to you. This is not really part of our theology, and so my guess is these are not experiences that a lot of you have. And so it might seem trivial. But as a pastor, I've witnessed these matters come into the hearts of people with great fear. I was a hospital chaplain in Chicago for about 2 years. And about once a month, I would get a phone call in the middle of the night while I was on call, and it would be a parent who just lost their child in birth. And the one thing that they wanted from me, more than anything, was to come and baptize the baby. And we talked about this at length in seminary because, again, our theology is not beholden to baptism as some kind of a ticket into heaven. And our theology has this belief that all children especially go to heaven. And so I would go into these rooms with these parents in their most despairing moments, and I would gently talk to them about this, that your child is okay, that your child is at peace with God. And there's a lot of grief surrounding this moment, but in that area right there, that's not something you need to worry about. And 100% of the time, it made no difference. Still, those parents wanted that baptism. Still, those parents wanted that visible sign that their child was okay. And it was predicated on this fear that just maybe their child wasn't. And 100% of the time, I did those baptisms anyways, because it's more important for people to feel God than it is to try to theologically explain to them how God works. So there are moments in our lives where what baptism is not can be really tricky and can play to our fears and cause us to really not understand God as we might hope to, which is why I want to talk about what baptism is. I want to start with what baptism is not, because these are a lot of misconceptions that we have throughout our culture. But I really want to talk about what baptism is, because what it is quite beautiful. And this is a good text to use to kind of talk about what baptism is. You got John the Baptist, who's out there baptizing people. And John the Baptist is this big fear-mongering kind of a guy, right? He really puts the fear of God in people. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Jesus is coming with his winnowing fork, and he's going to separate the granary. A lot of fear in John the Baptist. And the one thing that he rings out with first is repent. Repent. And I've talked about this before, but that word repent comes off as watch out, when really the Greek simply means change course. You're going in one direction. It's time to change course. And that is what John the Baptist was trying to tell people. It's time to move away from these things that keep you from God's wrath and instead change course and just choose a relationship with God. Move towards God. And so that is what baptism is first. It is a movement towards God. And whether it's an action that we do as adults, as children, or as infants, it is a movement towards God that our parents and our godparents help us make. And then, as I said, John was kind of an end times guy, right? Talking about the chaff. Talking about Jesus coming and separating the good and the bad. And for John, he probably believed that God was showing up soon. and that God was going to judge the entire world. And that was about 2,000 years ago, so we're still waiting. End times for John was different than it was for Jesus. To be baptized is not to save our skin for the end of the world, but it's a commitment that we make and that our parents make and that our sponsors make for us, that we will try to bring heaven to this world. That our work as Christians is always the work of trying to create heaven on earth in all of those little spaces in which we live and work and move and have our being. So second, baptism is not just a movement towards God, but it is a movement towards heaven. Not out of fear, but out of this love and this desire for bringing heaven to those around us. And of course, we have Jesus being baptized, and God comes down in the form of a spirit like a dove, and God says, "This is my Son, the Beloved." And that's the part of baptism that we definitely cannot skip, right? For those of us that were baptized, for those of us that remember our baptism, it's not something that separates us from the bad, but it is a moment where we as Christians can declare to that person being baptized on behalf of the community, on behalf of God, that you are loved. You are loved by God. And God is with you always. That grace that comes from these holy waters is God's promise to each and every one of you, that no matter what happens in your life, even if your course does change and you might be going in the wrong direction, no matter what, God is with you because God loves you. And then here's the stickler for me, the last thing that baptism is. And this is the one that I tell the parents every time they call me up and say, "Hey, can you baptize my kid? We'll show up to church on Thursday at 3:30. I tell them, you know, baptism is a commitment that you are making that your kid is going to be part of the larger body of Christ. It's not some special ticket into heaven. But the moment that those waters touch that child is now a part of something bigger than themselves. They are part of the entire body of Christ that stretches through time and through space. And once those waters touch their head, that part can especially never be removed. They will always be part of something bigger than themselves. That's what Paul tells us in Galatians when he says we are baptized and set free. We are no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, man or woman. We are all of us through that baptism part of the one body of Christ. Now we celebrate Christ's baptism every year, and it is always the Sunday after Epiphany. We don't do that just to remember that Jesus got baptized, so we should. We do it to remember our own baptism. Now, I'm going to tell you the most controversial thing I have ever done at Bethania in the last 3.5 years. It was not adding a second service. It was not changing the first service from 9:30 to 9 o'clock. It wasn't starting a ministry at a bar. It was taking this baptismal font and putting it back there. And putting water in it. I have received more flack from that one thing than anything else I have ever done at this church. But I want to tell you why. Because I've had Danish tourists come in and say, "What's the baptismal font doing back here? It's supposed to be up there." I put it back there and I made sure that there's water in it because every week I witness our preschoolers and our after-school kids walk past this baptismal font and dip their hands in the water and make the sign of the cross on themselves. And every year I talk to them about what baptism is. It is simply remembering that God loves you and that you are a part of something bigger than yourselves. And I tell them, you are allowed to stick your hands in this water. Have fun with it. And they do. But I tell them, when you do it, remember this is what it's for. That God loves you and you are a part of something bigger than yourselves. And every week I get to witness these kids do this. And every year I get to have this conversation with new kids and I get to witness them do it as well. So I have it here up front today and it's got water in it because I'm going to be using it for my children's lesson in the 11 o'clock service. But it's going to stay back there. And I want you to remember why. I want you, from now on, every time you walk by this font, this sacred holy water, to remember your baptism. I want you to remember this movement that we have committed ourselves to making towards God. This movement that we as Christians have committed ourselves to making to bring heaven here on earth. And I want you to remember that each and every one of you is part of something bigger than yourselves. And to prove that, I want you to do something for me. If you have been baptized by this font, or have a child that has been baptized by this font, please raise your hand. Gerda, Bob's not here, so Gerda's our first. And two children, and Melissa. Spread throughout our entire worship space today are people through time and space who have been baptized by this font. We are connected as a family by this piece of wood and metal and water. And we are called every Sunday as we walk past this thing to remember our relationship with God, to remember our call as Christians, and to remember the love that each of us has with each other. And we get to do this together always. Amen. Please stand. The grace of our